continue with Ephesians. We've been looking at the armor of God. And so I'd like to just do a little bit of review tonight as far as the slides, and then we'll start into the one tonight. The verses begin in chapter 6, and it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And that's, we're going to look at the shield of faith tonight. But as I read those verses again, it reminded me of the fact that the battle we face is not one to gain territory. It says, having done all, to stand. We're not called to win the war. We're just called to stand. Because God's the one who's going to win the war. You know, sometimes we get discouraged because of ups and downs in ministries, ups and downs in our personal lives. But we need to realize if we just stand for the Lord where he's put us and do what he's called us to do, then he'll take care of the rest. And I just pray that our people in high places that have been blessed to be elected now, they'll be able to stand. There's a lot of opposition to them. And for us Christians in our local churches, we'd stand for what's right. There's a lot of pressure to give up everything that we hold dear, like the Word of God and the standards God's given, righteousness and holiness. Say, that's old-fashioned. We're going to do something new. And we need to stand. Well, one of the things that we use in our standing, as I mentioned already, is the shield of faith. The rectangular Roman shield was huge, standing 4 feet tall, nearly 3 feet wide. A Greek word for the shield means like a door. It was so big. And here's an illustration of it. To build the shield, they'd take two pieces of wood, glue it together, and cover it with canvas to form the core, and then a calf skin or goat skin stretched tightly over it, and the boards were curved inward, and a leather strap was tacked to the back so he could hold on to it. And then iron rims were fitted along the top and bottom, and an iron circle attached to the center of it. You can see another representation of it here. Can you imagine making one of those back in those days? They didn't have a steam presser or anything like we had in our times, modern machinery. They did it by hand. But it was powerful. They had their uniform or their units on the thing and all that, but the archers in the ancient world would dip their arrows in tar and set them on fire before they shot them at their opponents. And wooden shields would begin to smolder, causing the soldiers to drop their shields and then be exposed to the fire of the arrows and the darts as well. So you can see how important those shields were. They would actually dip them in water. That's where it said they would drench the shields with water so that when those arrows came in, they would put them out. And so that's an illustration of withstand the fiery darts of the evil one. And then, of course, you've probably all heard of the formation that the Romans used where they would join their shields together and like a huge covering and all around and march forward and like a turtle. It's amazing how they did that, and yet they were successful in conquering a world that way. But now we're looking at the application for the Christian, it's faith. And, of course, our protection against temptation and against a failure. We need to trust that God will supply what we need. The evil forces, spiritual forces, can't tempt us with this lie that God or that the devil or sin can provide a better life than God. Boy, that's what the devil's trying to sell today, isn't it? He's saying, oh, you know, you're too old-fashioned. You're missing out. No, we're missing out on evil. That's a good thing. We're missing out on heartache and sorrow. The way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible said. And so we have to keep our eyes on what God has said. It's so easy for us to be influenced by all the media that we see so much on all the time, whether we're driving, listening to the radio, or watching the television, or the computer, or the newspaper, that you're only getting a little bit of it. I remember hearing the preacher talk about in the old days when the commentator on the news at night would say, and that's the way that was today in the world, and the world as it was, and he'd say, no, that's the way it appeared. God knows what's really going on. And so we need to look to Him. He is our strength. In fact, I'd like you to look at Psalm 91. It says in Psalm 91, this matter of faith, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That ought to encourage our hearts to realize God is not only for us, He's with us, and He's a very present help in time of need. The imagery there that He's our refuge and fortress. The enemy has got to get through God to get to us. That's pretty secure, isn't it? And that's that we receive that by faith. And we trust Him to take care of all these different problems that He lists here about the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence and all of that. Not be afraid of the terror in my night or the arrow and all those things. You know, we can look around and we see everything that's happening. We say, oh, woe is me. But no, don't look to that. Look to God. He's our protector and our guide. He's the one in whom we have our faith. You know, we talk about the just shall live by faith, and that is so true. But faith in whom and in what? Faith in God. Have faith in God, the Bible says. And it's meaningless to just talk about faith without defining the object of our faith. We need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Look to God as our Father in heaven. Look to the Holy Spirit as our guide and our teacher and our protector. All these we live by faith. True faith, all the flaming arrows of the evil one, all those things will be taken care of. And they'll be stopped. We'll be able to stand against all those things. We remember the life of Joseph of the Old Testament when he was tempted by that woman. He fled. And the Bible says, flee youthful lusts. He did the right thing. They lied about him. He's thrown in prison, but he did the right thing. They forgot him, but he still did the right thing. And that to me, Joseph is one of those most shining examples of living by faith, because everything seemed to go wrong for so long. But at the right time, God had him in the right place. And we never know how that's going to turn out until we look back, do we? But what is it? We say hindsight's 20/20. But we need to believe God knows it all. And so we trust Him who loves us most. He knows us best. He knows the end from the beginning. When we're faced with faith in God, the powers of darkness are defeated. Look over in 1 John 5:4. And it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So our faith is the victory. You know, I'm emphasized just a moment ago that we may focus our faith on God. Yes, but God uses our faith to overcome problems as we face them in this life. You know, some would like to say, well, God's already got it planned. What is to be will be. But we don't know what is to be. Only He does. So we have to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And live by faith and follow Him and trust Him that we have the ability to do what He said. Or as one man said it another way, where God guides, He provides. If He guides you to be here in this place, to do this or that, He will provide the strength. He will provide everything that's needed. The problem we have so often is that we want to say, this is what I want, and then blame it on God. And then when it fails, well, Lord, you failed me. No, He didn't fail. Just because we want to do something doesn't mean it's what He wants. So that's why we have to be close to Him in our spiritual life. We have to know Him and listen to His Spirit guiding us and drawing us into His plan. Because His ways are not our ways. His ways are above our ways. And He knows the end from the beginning. So we live by faith and He will take us through. And we will overcome the world. Again, I've mentioned about our nation and all the things we're facing. I was at my dentist today. He is a believer. He's a very outspoken fella. Any of you that know Dr. Comar. But he was saying we need a strong leader and all this. And I said, you know, we need revival from the bottom up. And I really think that's the thing. He's a very strong personality himself. And he says, let's go and let's do it. And his family does. But that's not the way everybody is. But in reality, if you look in history, how God has worked, when the power of God goes, it touches people. And as Chuck Colson observed during his lifetime in ministry, it's most often God starts at the very bottom to send His Spirit to reach the worst people society thinks are almost a lost cause. And then that begins to multiply, and people are amazed, and God gets the glory, and it grows. Man's way is to say, we'll start with the top people. We'll go reach the upper echelon. They have the means. They have the health. They have the education. Then they can reach down. But they don't do it. Look what happens when we send people overseas and they bring the best and the brightest over here to get their education. And we'll send them back to minister to their people. Most of them don't go. Why? Why would they want to go back to poverty and to hard life when they can have it easier here, make more money? You see, it starts when people look to God and are truly thankful. And I think one of our problems is we've been so blessed in our generation, we're not thankful enough because we think we deserved it. We didn't. As God warned Moses and the children of Israel going to the promised land and Joshua and his generation, when you come to this land, you get houses you didn't build and vineyards you didn't plant and wells you didn't dig. Don't you think it's because you were better than everybody else that God gave to you? You were nothing. You are lost out there in the wilderness, and God brought you in, and God gave it to you. It's all due to Him. We need to stay faithful to Him and realize that. And God's way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all that trust Him, 2 Samuel 22:31. Boy, isn't that a good statement to meditate upon? As for God, His way is perfect. We don't know the way He's going to lead us except step by step. That's why I tried to choose that one song about following Him and His will. And you think of that. God's will. It's so important that we do it. Some things are clear. Everybody needs to be saved. Everybody needs to stand against sin. Everybody needs to follow the righteous path the Bible declares. But God has an individual plan for each of us. Are we willing to wait on the Lord and ask Him to guide and direct and put us where He wants? I was thinking back. Somebody asked me how long I'd been here, and I told them. And I was thinking as I told him, I thought, you know, if you'd asked me 35 years ago where I'd be, it wouldn't have been here. I didn't even know about this place. We were headed somewhere else. But God put us here. And I don't know why. Maybe because He figured I needed to be here and y'all could be profited from it, I hope. But that's not up to me. Just because I had other plans, my desire was always like the Apostle Paul. What would you have me to do? Try to do the best we can for our Lord. And then Psalm 7:10, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. Oh boy, isn't that precious? Think about our leaders up there fighting the battles with politics and enemies and all that. They need the hand of God on them. And I pray that they are sincere in their faith. I don't know them. God does. What little I've heard of them seems like most of them are. But they sure got a lot of opposition to overcome. And it's important that we don't, as a believer, we don't go down to the level of the enemy and start doing the things the way they do, slinging mud and all that, because then we'll lose our power with the Lord. Here's another verse in Psalm 7:13. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. See, God's going to take care of the enemy. I'm always amazed at how zealous people are to try and catch the few remaining 100-year-old Nazis. I mean, they're going to die. They didn't escape anything. They just postponed it. Now, I understand why people, they want to get that thing out there, and there's a generation growing up that don't even believe it happened. And there's propaganda out there trying to dismiss it all. It was terrible. And we need to not forget that, lest we follow the evil way again. And you know, it's scary when you start hearing people say, America, right or wrong, it's God. And America needs to follow God's way. De Tocqueville said that famous quote, America is great because America is good. If America ceases to be good, America will no longer be great. And surely we're doing exactly what he warned us about back in those early 1800s. When you realize that you can vote yourself money out of the public treasury, you'll destroy yourselves. Look at our debt. All because people want somebody else to take responsibility for them instead of asking the Lord to guide and provide for them. And then Psalm 18:35, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. God's protection to us in all these ways. And then there's a bunch of other verses. We didn't look at all of them yet, but I read from you in Psalm 90 earlier. But Ephesians 2, 8, 9, we know that pretty well, don't we? For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10 follows up and says, and we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So, for by grace are you saved through faith. See, that's our part. We have to say, yes, Lord, I believe. I'm going to claim what you've promised. And I think, what is it we believe? What do we put our faith? I believe who Jesus is. He's God the Son. He came from heaven and became a man, went on this earth and lived and went to and died on that old rugged cross. That's the second part, what he did. He died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He's buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And then he said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So we believe him, and we come. If you really believe something, you'll act upon it. That's the thing that's going to keep a lot of people out of heaven. So much is information and lack of application. There are people that can answer all the questions on the catechism. They know, yes, I believe God made the world. I believe Jesus is God the Son and all this. But have they ever personally asked him to save them? You know, we've got to realize it's a personal salvation. I've emphasized before that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, not if you shall confess with yours. It makes a difference. It's an individual thing. Everybody needs the Lord, but everybody's got to get saved one by one. We would like it if we could just say a prayer for everybody like the Mormons. They're baptizing people for all the presidents, I think, but two. They're mad at them because they did something they didn't like. But that doesn't work that way. You can't do it for nobody else. Everybody's got to get saved themselves. What can we do? We can go into all the world and share the gospel with everybody. That's our part on it. So, living by faith, and Greek and Latin don't mean much to me, but the shield of faith, that's what we're talking about tonight. I hope this has challenged your heart tonight about living by faith. Faith is simply believing what God says is so and putting it into practice. As the man said years ago over at Painesville Baptist, I was listening to him in a Sunday school meeting. He said, I practice every day that which I believe. All the rest is just religious words. Think about that. What we do shows what we really believe. Father in heaven, I thank thee, Lord, for thy word. I pray